You're listening to Moon Monkey. On this episode, we're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War, directed by the Russo brothers.
Who did maybe the best Marvel movie ever made, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Which I haven't seen.
Which you haven't seen. So it's been about 10 years. 10 years, 18 movies.
Yeah.
Something like that. And basically this has all been building to the point of Thanos has slowly been on his quest to gather all the Infinity Stones to complete his Infinity Gauntlet, and the Avengers somehow they're getting back together. Mostly, I would say Everybody's got to come back together.
Well, they're forced to sort of come back.
They're forced to come back together.
Threat.
Somebody even phoned Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
they have to get back together. No matter how much they've fallen out, they all come back together to stop Thanos succeeding. And this will be a spoiler review.
Yes.
And the spoiler is that
the film's done incredibly well. So most people have probably already
seen
this already.
Anyway,
if you haven't, go see it and then come back and listen to the review.
What are you doing listening to us, really? That's a big question in general.
But yeah, basically Thanos' goal is to get the Infinity Gauntlet, which will give him the most power of anyone in the universe, and his plan is to basically kill half the people in the universe.
For he has good intentions because he's doing it to save the universe in his eyes.
Yeah, but he thinks that there's like overpopulation, so he has to kill half of them the other half can thrive.
The spoiler is Thanos succeeds, which obviously everybody knows.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of deaths, and it shocked a lot of people because either I think this movie, much like other movies, big movies that have been building up over the years and other franchises, has torn a lot of people. Some people think this is really great and it's a really bold move and it's really entertaining that they've done this. And other people are like, oh my god, you've ruined my life. Why have you killed my favourite characters?
With this film?
Ah, I've seen a lot of people say
that.
I've seen some people.
Most people I've heard have had a positive.
Yeah, most people. Yeah, I agree. But there are some people that are like, they really don't like it. I mean, when we saw it at the end, there was people that were clearly, visibly distressed.
I tell you,
and quite sad.
We're obviously like jumping to the end of the film and then we'll go back to earlier on. But yeah, I thought like they did really well with the end of the film. One thing I would say is the deaths happened like too quickly to really have an emotional weight. It was sort of...
Some of them.
Yeah, you sort of had to think back at it. Yeah, some of them like worked really well. And other ones, it was just like it started happening so fast that you were... Once you got into the fact like, oh, a lot of them are going to disappear, and that's obviously what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like they didn't land as hard as like I felt some of them should. And the other thing is, outside of the movie, a lot of people are already aware that there's going to make a part two of the Infinity War story.
They are, but some people, like your casual moviegoers, aren't.
Know that.
Yeah, and didn't know that. And they have tried to hide it. They've not really publicised it to a massive extent.
If you didn't know that, the ending would be much more impactful.
And
it's only when you think about it and you think... It's only really when you think... Like, we've seen this movie just as it's come out. In years to come, you won't have the same sort of context to watch it in.
No, they won't, but we're doing it. We're doing it now.
Yeah. Seeing the movie when it comes out...
We don't have the time stone.
And sort of knowing that other characters have trilogies coming up, and they're going to make a part two of this, it sort of makes you realise, like, okay, they're probably not going to stay dead. And I know I've heard, like, there's theories online about how they're going to bring them back and these things happening. But the film on its own is an incredibly impactful ending, and I thought they landed it well.
I really liked it too. I think a lot of people have bought into it.
It was unexpected. To be honest, like, I'd have to say I didn't see it coming that it was going to end with Thanos winning.
No.
And the Avengers losing, since they win pretty much every time.
Yeah, but I mean, I think for a lot of people, they expect that Hollywood ending of everything is going to work out and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And there's not going to need to be a part two. Not necessarily everybody thinks, oh, isn't it great an Empire Strikes Back where the Empire wins? Some people probably at the time thought, oh, this is terrible. Like, Skywalker's lost his hand. And they've lost Hoth. Everything's gone badly. I think a lot of people came out of this and felt a kind of negativity about it because the bad guy won, but sometimes the bad guys do win. And I did really like it. And I thought, I really liked it.
It gives you that platform for building up the second, because people will be so excited now to see the second one.
It does,
one.
And they want to see how people are going to come back.
I mean, if they defeat him in this one, it would be to see them defeat him again.
I mean, think about how much they've built this.
But I thought they did all the characters well. They worked everyone together, like, really well, and the interactions that people were looking forward to. So you've got Thor meeting Guardians of the Galaxy.
That was very good too. Very
Iron Man meeting Doctor Strange. You've got the Avengers meeting up with Black Panther.
People are very disappointed that...
it was like the ultimate crossover film.
People are very disappointed that Peter Quill never said to Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict Cumberbatch, no shit, Sherlock's. and I didn't think of that until I saw a review, and I thought, oh, they really missed the boat there.
Yeah, missed the trick. That was the one trick. That's knocked at least the star off your appreciation.
No, I really liked it. And
I feel like at points it was sort of groaning under the weight of too many characters, because like the way they've sort of structured the film was quite clever, in that they've basically split people up into two or three different teams, and you're sort of cutting between like different teams of people rather than trying to throw them all together and really confuse it. You've essentially, they've made three movies but got them all sort of cutting between them and then all sort of meeting up at the end. In fact, they don't even really meet up at the end, because one's happening on Titan and one's happening on Earth.
I thought it was really done well, and I didn't really feel like... There were certain characters that didn't get as much screen time, but I didn't really feel like they had an issue of, like, there was too many people, because it was done so well. And there was certain ones that maybe they would have gave more screen time to if they knew how good Black Panther was going to do. They might have thought, oh, I have a bit more Black Panther. But there was enough time, there was enough with everybody.
I wasn't bored through it, but there were sort of, it was creaking a little under the weight, because you had scenes where like characters wouldn't be there for a long time while you caught up with other characters, which is no real way around it. No. Like, they couldn't have done it any other way. And it was done much better than another recent large franchise movie that we saw at the end of last year, which tried to cut between three different timelines.
Yeah,
and it was paced all wrong. This was paced really well.
Yeah, it was.
And every time it was like, you have a bit of conversation, then you have an action scene, then you have a bit more character stuff, then an action scene.
The one thing I would say that it did maybe suffer from is there was just like so much action that whenever it did slow down for a bit of emotion, it felt really strange, because you were just used to like action constantly, because there was, so like you're saying, there's three different places and there's all action going on in all those different places, and then when it does finally stop for a bit of emotional pull to the audience, you're really like, oh, you're really taken out of it. But and what was surprising about who got the emotional parts, and I think the two standout characters that did get those emotional parts were Thor and Thanos, and that was a surprise. I think like the whole performance by Josh Brolin was really impressive, because essentially as like a big guy trying to destroy the universe, but you did kind of go through his emotional feelings about how he was struggling to do it and what he had to sacrifice. Yeah.
That is what they're usually missing in these films, that they actually gave him a understandable reason for why he was doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
Like, he is insane. Like, his plan is insane, but in his mind, he's thought it out, and he knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. And also, they gave him an emotional heart with Gamora, who's his daughter, who you find out that he genuinely does care about. And so instead of just
and being... And she cares about him too. That's the thing you like as well. Like, they both...
So he's not just evil, irredeemably evil.
No.
Like, there is sort of a core of emotionality there, even though he does want to kill a lot of people.
And also, Thor got a lot of emotional bits too, because he's literally lost everything.
Hmm.
He's lost everything, everyone and everything.
Does he loses, seems to lose his hammer in pretty much every film and then get it back.
I don't know if that's statistically correct. But he didn't have a hammer this time, he had an axe.
Yeah.
But I thought he had a lot of emotion in it too. Like, and I think Loki the first one to go?
Yeah.
Was he the first one to go? Or was it...
Or Heimdall.
Heimdall. I mean, so, like, basically, like, everything Thor had is gone.
Oh, yeah. Like, early in the film, that was the opening sequence of the film, so it really raised the stakes up when you think, oh, like, people can be killed in the movie.
Will we go through who we think is actually, possibly, really dead? Loki.
No.
You don't think he's dead? You think he's...
I think he's a god.
He's
done some mischief. Did they not make a comment about, like...
He'll never be a god.
Millions of times.
He has, but they also said
he's really dead.
Yeah, it looks like he really is. And it did look like he really was. But who knows, because he's looking...
Yeah.
Gamora, she could possibly be dead. We don't know. Maybe the next Guardians will be trying to find her in one of the one of the Soul Stones.
Well, here's the thing, like, the Infinity Gauntlet and the sort of the stones, you have one that turns back time, one that sort of alters reality.
But also, if you're making a movie, right, Gamora's was clearly trapped in the Soul Stone at the end, because that's where Thanos went.
So they might be able to break that open.
Or find it, I would imagine. And the Collector, he's possibly actually dead, but we don't know because we didn't see him die.
He could be killed.
Yeah, he could
be. Yeah, he's not a major.
Idris Elba's definitely dead. This character, not the man. Yeah. And everyone else that disappeared, Spider-Man, Black Panther, Mantis. I know you're very upset about Mantis, but she might come back.
Spider-Man will be back.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying they're dead now, though.
Oh, you're saying who's dead?
Yeah.
You're just listing off the deceased.
Yeah, I'm listing the deceased.
This is like some kind of memorial service for Marvel superheroes.
Maria Hill, Falcon, Star-Lord, Groot, Drax, Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Vision. Vision's dead. Vision's probably definitely dead, actually. Bucky's gone, Nick Fury's gone, and the only Guardians of the Galaxy character left is Rocket Raccoon, which will be a very lonely movie if they don't bring back people in the next one.
That would be sort of a sad ending to that trilogy.
Just Rocket Raccoon driving around listening to loads of music, singing himself.
Listening to all the sad ballads from the...
From the 80s. Yeah, so overall though, I did like Infinity Gauntlet. I did know how it was going to end, but that didn't affect my enjoyment of it. And I thought it was done really well. There was enough characters, and it was good seeing interactions with different ones. It was done really well. And
I think people have come to expect now that Marvel films are always a certain quality. Like, there's always pretty decent writing.
But they really had to up it with this. And I felt like they did.
Funny dialogue.
Yeah.
The action sequences are always pretty good.
But they didn't just turn this into a massive big joke, which they had the risk of doing. They had enough in there that made it. That I felt like there was a moment in the movie where it kind of got, it's all about, we're doing little cracking jokes, but it all got really serious.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody was like, oh my God.
Well, they always do a good job of balancing the humour and the seriousness. And this one, like we said, the villain is really strong. Mm. And it has that emotional heart between Thanos and Gamora. And the ending was fantastic. Like, the final sort of moments with Thanos are just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I really did like it. I know, like...
I don't know
most people did and some people didn't, but I really did.
The one thing I'd be cautious about is, like, every Marvel film that comes out, people think it's the best one just after they've seen it. And
no,
then after a bit of time's passed. I don't know if it's the best one because the story of it... Firstly, it's... Part one of two movies.
Yeah.
So until the second one comes out, you've not really seen the full Infinity War story. And secondly, it doesn't have the sort of focus that obviously some of the single character ones have, because you've got like an easier story to tell. This is more like a great sort of meet-up battle royale style
but
movie.
I feel like it's slightly more than that because of the build. And the build to something, and it's been worthwhile.
This is like beyond a movie. This is like an experience or an event, because it's been so many years and so many movies leading into it. I mean, there's nothing else that is even comparable to this.
No, there isn't.
Not even Police Academy.
Not even Police Academy 7 Mission in Moscow can compare to this.
So, in that regard, like, it's been an incredible feat to do that many years and that many movies leading up to this one film.
The only thing that could have made it better is they had Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well... Yeah, they missed a trick there.
They did.
But, so, overall, like, I think everyone's already seen this movie anyway, but, it's definitely worth watching if you're a fan of any of the other Marvel movies. I would say, like, definitely watch or know a bit about some of the characters before going in. If you went in knowing none of the previous, it's going to be a tough watch.
At least watch the catch-up thing that they've got online.
Yeah, like, even if you know just one character in it, it's worthwhile because you get to see them joining in this great big team-up movie.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was a big, bold move. It shocked a lot of people, and I really liked all the traveling around the universe. I really liked that.
Yeah, that
was done
really
quite well.
Even including to Edinburgh, where they filmed a couple of scenes.
Even to the mystic world of Edinburgh.
Yeah, the far-flung corners of the galaxy.
Yeah, really good. Done really well. Lots of emotion. And I think it built up to something that was worthwhile, which is would have been terrible if it built up to this and it was awful.
Yeah.
And I think, it was done really well. So big thumbs up for Infinity War and well done to the Russo brothers.
So that was our review of Infinity War. Thanks for listening, and make sure to like and subscribe. We'll be back again soon with more reviews.